May it please the court. I'm Bernard Rhodes, and I represent Antioch Community Church, where the pastor keeps two books in the pulpit. One, a well-worn Bible. Two, volume 320 of Southwest Second. For it was there, on page 455, that this court decided in 1959, made the statement, quote, "The usual and customary location of churches is in residence districts." That was just 3 years after the Antioch Church built what it still today calls its new church in 1956 on Antioch Road, down the street from Antioch Shopping Center, around the corner from the Antioch Middle School. Because the Antioch Church has been there since before the Civil War. This area exists because of the Antioch Church. Yet, for reasons only the city can explain, the city now thinks that it, because the church is now 100 years after the church began, became zoned residential, it can prohibit the church from using the very same digital display that the city allows just up the street at the intersection of Antioch and Vivian, and just down the street at the intersection of I-35 and Antioch Road.
Are you saying they should be grandfathered in?
No, they're not grandfathered in on the residential zoning. I concede that they are zoned residential. But what I don't concede is that bare fact, and that's the only fact the city has, justifies the denial of the variance. That is the only fact the city has argued. That is the only fact the city argued below. That's the only fact the city argues now. That bare fact that it's zoned residential. The city ignores the uncontroverted evidence that there are 13,500 cars a day that drive by the church, which is sandwiched between these two commercial areas.
But that's a very different argument than saying churches, because churches tend to be in residential areas, all churches only have to follow commercial zoning laws.
When the tie goes to the church, The city's own zoning code provides.
Is it an argument that all churches are subject, just have to be subject to the same zoning rules as all commercial property, because otherwise it's discrimination, it's a violation of
No, Judge Smith, my argument is the church's application for a variance has to be analyzed on the facts. The facts are it's surrounded by commercial areas, but for the immediate houses next to it. And it is a church. You can't ignore the fact that it's a church. And under Reed v. Gilbert, decided by the Supreme Court in 2015, regardless of the intent of the zoning ordinance, if the effect of the application of the zoning ordinance is to discriminate against churches, it requires strict scrutiny.
But in effect, you're saying because cities give a benefit to churches, they don't allow commercial establishments in single-family home-zoned areas, but they let churches be there, giving them a special benefit, in effect, because they're different. And you're saying that means then they have to treat, and you're saying because of that benefit, then they have to give them an extra special treatment and treat them like as if they're in a zoned commercial area. I mean, it seems to me.
No, you're right. With all due deference.
No, tell me why that's.
It's exactly the opposite. The church is giving the Phillips 66 at I-35 in Antioch a benefit that it doesn't give my client.
Because it's in a commercial area, and you admit you're not, and you're saying, but churches tend not to be. But aren't they already being treated specially by being allowed to be in a non-commercial area as a church? It's not a discrimination. It's an extra benefit.
I don't think that. I think it's quite the opposite. It's the benefit to the community of having the church there.
Absolutely, but
not the benefit to the church of being allowed to exist in a residential area.
The city says that the church. The facts of the case are that the church is surrounded by other residences.
Immediately surrounded is true, but within the 1 mile stretch. Mm-hmm. And literally 1 mile stretch, which this court can take judicial notice of from the official state map of Antioch Road and I-35 on the south and Antioch Road and Vivian Road on the north. Within that 1 mile stretch, there are scores of commercial businesses. This is literally, as the circuit court and as the court of appeals found, bookended by these commercial areas.
But innocent.
Yes, it's immediately surrounded by homes. But it's not a it's not in the back of a cul-de-sac. It's not, you know, three blocks off. There are 13,500 cars that drive by a day. That's greater than the population of the entire city of Branson.
And Council, I understand your point, but doesn't that go to whether it's appropriately zoned as residential along the main street there and whether that zoning?
No, absolutely not. To be honest, the city makes the comment that, well, they could apply for rezoning. I assure you the city would argue that that's spot zoning. Mm-hmm. That's what variance is for. That's why we're here. Because four judges who have looked at this have deemed the Board of Zoning Adjustment abused their discretion, but more accurately what they said is they didn't even use any discretion.
Well, the question really is, what does the law allow? And in your briefs, you characterize this sign as a monument sign, but
yes.
It doesn't fit the definition of a monument sign.
It 100% fits the definition of a monument sign.
Does the definition include that the sign is by hanging things on?
No. No, Your Honor. No, I'm glad you brought that up. Absolutely not, Your Honor. The definition of a monument sign is simply a sign in which the width of the sign does not exceed more than 75% of the base of the sign. And that is on page A23 of my appendix, Your Honor. And the sign, that the monument sign that the church had did use these cup hooks with individual letters. But that was because that was the technology in 1956, not because that's what the statute or the code requires. I'll read to you from, again, this is A23 of my appendix, sign, comma, monument. A sign placed upon a base that rests upon the ground where the width of the base of the sign is a minimum of 75% of the width of the longest part of the sign. That's exactly what this sign has been since 1956. That's exactly what the sign has been for the 6 years since it, the 7 years since it was erected in 2010.
And you call the requirements regarding the lettering requirements as opposed to changes in type of sign.
Exactly, because the provision of the code which deals with the monument sign expressly states that the sign may not have, one sign may include changeable copy, but the changeable copy feature must use direct human intervention for changes and may not include any form of digital or electronic display. That's a requirement for that sign, a requirement that the statute says can be varied.
And your point was if it automatically was not a monument sign, if it had a digital display, there'd be no need for that requirement because it would be in another category.
I could sit down now because that's exactly what my argument is, Judge Stitt.
Well, before you do, can you address the practical difficulties issue?
Yes, Your Honor. The practical difficulty is not the personal consideration that the city claims. Again, the practical difficulty is this is a church. It's aging. It only has 150 members. They're old. They're trying to attract members. This allows them to get a safer message, to get more frequent messages, to get larger messages, to allow the community to use the messages, all of which is no different than in Rosedale Skinker or in Hyman Homes.
Well, in Rosedale Skinker, they said basically they couldn't meet the needs. They couldn't provide the service that they were there to provide without
That's not what they said. They said we'd have to open a second building. And that would be inefficient. They did not say, unless we do it, we're going to stop providing telephone service. No, Judge. They said it would be less efficient. Just like in Highmont Homes, the cell company said it would be less efficient to use the lower tower than the higher tower. In both cases, it could be used for a permitted use, but not in the most efficient manner. And so that's the test for a non-used variance under this court's decision, Rosedale Skinker.
And how do we address that in the use of the building as a church? I understand the benefits to the church of having the different lettering. There's probably lots of things that would be benefits, but does it affect its use as a church?
Exactly the same as the piece of land in Highmont Homes, with the use of the land was affected by the height of the tower. Exactly the same. The land did not exist solely for the purpose of a tower. That was an incidental use on the land. Just as the sign, in my case, is more than an incidental use, it's drawing people in. That's what the evidence is, that the sign has, in fact, allowed the church to increase its membership by attracting new members. I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal unless you have a further question, Judge.
No, but if you won't get any extra rebuttal time, so if you want to use your 2 minutes.
That's fine. I told Christina, I'm colorblind, so I don't know what these signs. So if I still have 2 more minutes, I'll use my 2 more minutes. So the test is not this personal consideration. The city's transfer application is just the sky is falling. Well, that's not the Court of Appeals decision did not result in the sky falling any more than the Highmont Homes case or this court's Rosedale Skinker case resulted in the sky is falling. Where, for example, is the Missouri League of Cities? They've not filed an amicus in this case. So what this is a unique factual situation in which we have a church that has existed for more than 100 years that established, through complete inadvertence and ignorance, a sign which violated the code. That's exactly what this court has held is the basis and rationale for a variance. There were no facts presented again in opposition. There was no evidence presented in opposition. There was no neighbors testifying in opposition. In fact, from the mouth of babes, in this case from the mouth of civilians, we have the answer. The president of the local home association appeared, completely unsolicited, merely because he received a notice. The only reason that this apparently is an issue right now is because it's sitting right in the middle. This little dinky sign is sitting right in the middle of this stretch of Antioch Road that is still zoned R6. For some reason, somebody decided that, there's a little display up there on that, and they picked on that for some ungodly reason. We don't understand why, and we can't see the sense in the city picking on that. That's what this civilian said. That's what the circuit court said. That's what the unanimous Court of Appeals said. So for those reasons, Your Honor, I'll save my rebuttal time.
Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court. The Antioch Community Church is located in a residential zoning district and is completely surrounded by single-family residential uses. It is on a stretch of Antioch Road that has commercial at what we call the nodes, the busy intersections. So the intersection of Antioch and I-35, there are a couple of commercial businesses, a gas station and a Waffle House, and at the intersection of Antioch Road and Vivian, there are some commercial uses.
Would this sign be facing Antioch Road or facing the residences?
Well, I think it faces the traffic coming toward it. I don't think it specifically faces the road, but it is completely surrounded by residences, including across the street. There's a videotape that's part of the evidence in this case. I think it's Exhibit 10, and it shows someone standing there doing a 360 view of all, and all you see are houses. So it's completely surrounded behind it, on the sides, across the street. The church installed a digital sign without applying for a permit and probably without realizing that the city's code does not allow digital signs in residential zoning districts. The church then applied for a variance. The BZA denied the variance for 2 reasons. First, there was no evidence provided that the prohibition of digital signage in residential zoning districts, and it's all residential zoning districts, no digital signs are allowed. There are no uses that have digital signs. Would result in an unnecessary hardship or practical difficulty for the subject property, not for the people using that property, but for the property, and that any hardship or difficulty is not generally applicable to other property in the same zoning district. That's the standard required by the city's code, section 88-565-06, that the BZA was following when it made its decision to deny the variance. Another standard in section 88-565-07 is whether granting the requested variance will result in this property getting an advantage over other similar properties that the code denies such privilege to. This is the only church in Kansas City that has such a sign because these signs are not allowed anywhere in the city in residential zoning.
What about Jackson County in its entirety?
There are probably other digital signs in Jackson County because Jackson County includes Raytown. Independence. There are other cities in Jackson County, but in our city, and that's the only one we have authority over, there are no digital signs allowed in residential districts. So granting a variance to this church would clearly give it an advantage over other similar uses. And those are the standards in our code. Those are the standards the city council wrote.
Can you add standards that are not in the statute? So if the statute allowed this, could you disallow it?
Yes. If the statute specifically allowed it, no. But the case law says that the city council is who defines the powers of the BZA, and they can put standards in there. In fact, there's a lot of cases.
Does the regulation define practical difficulty in the way you have, or is that your definition?
This is our definition in the code, and I believe the case law supports because the case law distinguishes between cities that specifically say the variance should be for the subject property and cities that don't say that.
And I apologize. Can you read it to me again, quoting exactly what it says about the practical difficulties part? You said it has to be practical difficulty for the property, not for the people. Is that actually
right
in the regulation?
Yes. Okay. It says unnecessary hardship or practical difficulty for the subject property, and that any hardship or difficulty is not generally applicable to other property in the same zoning district.
Now, can you tell me how that applies in Stinker Rosedale and in Highland Homes? Would those have been disallowed under that standard, and is that okay?
Well,
are those cases wrongly decided?
In at least one of those cases, I think the Rosedale Stinker case, they looked at that city's ordinance to see if it required that it be connected to the subject property, and they said no. Another distinction between this case and those cases, in those cases, the variance was granted by the board, and the Court of Appeals was upholding it, the Supreme Court or the Court of Appeals was upholding it, looking at an abuse of discretion standard. So they were upholding the board's discretion. In our case, the board denied it.
And for me to just understand, because I think what that means is a really important issue, you're not saying practical difficulty has to have the definition that's in that regulation, but that yours does, and that's permissible because the statute does not have a definition?
Yes. Some of those cases, in fact, I think Highland Homes specifically, and maybe Rosedale Skinker, talks about the differences between different city regulations, because some city regulations actually require that it be related to the topography. Mm-hmm. And so if the city regulations require that, then it's required.
But you don't require that narrow.
No,
okay.
No, it's just the subject
property.
Thank you.
Property.
Mr. Rhodes said that the definition of monument signs applicable to the church doesn't include the requirement of changeable, if they want changeable copy on the sign, it has to be by direct human intervention for changes.
Yes, the requirement for monument signs in residential districts. The definition of monument signs overall just talks about the shape of the sign.
But in the residential districts, does it expressly include the requirement that the changeable copy has to use direct human intervention?
Yes, it says cannot include any digital component, but the changeable copy must be signed by direct.
And that's applicable to institutional uses in residential areas.
Yes.
But it doesn't change it into a digital sign, which has a different definition. It's a monument sign that's trying to be used in an appropriate way.
I believe it does become a digital sign because the definition of digital sign includes a sign with any digital component.
So can you address the argument made by opposing counsel that a monument sign is defined as one of a certain shape and size that's on the land, and it says those are supposed to have people movable letters. So if they don't do that, you're violating the rule about what monument signs are supposed to have, but you're not changing it into a digital sign, which has a different definition.
A sign doesn't have to be just one sign type. The way sign type is defined in the code, it includes examples, and the examples are monument sign, pole sign, digital sign. Those are all sign types. And what the code says is that the BZA can't vary a sign type, so it can't allow a sign type in a district that's where that sign type's not allowed.
Right.
This sign is a monument sign, yes, because of the shape of it, but it's also a digital sign because it has a digital component.
Although the definition of monument for institutional use has an additional requirement for it to be a monument sign as to just the shape and size, and that is that it requires human intervention for changeable copy.
That it not have a digital component.
But does it make it not a monument sign?
I believe it's a monument sign, and it's also a digital sign. You know, a pole sign could have a digital component, and it would be a pole sign and a digital sign. So
how does that affect the argument that you can't grant a variance to a sign type where you're allowed to have the monument type, but you're not allowed to have the digital type? How do you apply that to this situation?
Well, I believe the code says that the BZA can't grant anything that's defined as a sign type a variance for that in a district where that sign type isn't allowed. And in residential districts, there's no digital signs allowed anywhere.
Thank you.
The justification for the variance that was asserted by the church's attorney was that a digital sign would allow it to change its message more frequently and efficiently, and church members would not need to go out in the weather and change the message. How could this be unique to this property? Every other church experiences weather, and there's nothing unique about this property that would make it suffer from the weather more than other properties. Variances are permanent. They run with the land. If it's an abuse of discretion for the BZA to deny a variance for purely personal reasons, then when would it ever be appropriate for a variance to be denied? These requests come in all the time. I want to build a giant shed in my front yard to house my many cars. I want to build a carport to cover my entire driveway so that I don't get wet when it's raining. I cited many cases in my brief that held that such personal reasons cannot justify a variance. The BZA is a board with limited authority. It cannot legislate. It cannot rewrite the code and act by the council. Variances are to be granted sparingly under Missouri law. Almost all the cases on variances talk about that. They are the exception to the rule, the exception to the city council's regulations. The church talks about it being historic and therefore cannot function without a modern commercial digital sign. It's been functioning for, they say, 150 years as a church. One of the standards for variances is that the property cannot be used for an allowed use without needing this variance. It clearly can be used for the allowed use. It's been used that way for many years.
He's in effect arguing that it can't realistically be much longer because it's getting smaller and smaller because because of where they're located and the age of their church population, and they need to bring in new members of the church. Can you address that?
It seems to me that's a marketing issue, and it doesn't make the property unusual. And pretty much every church which has an aging population in the city is going to experience the same thing. They do have an advantage being on a four-lane roadway, and if they have that number of cars driving by, that gives them an advantage. But is that then a hardship? I don't think that's a hardship that justifies a modern electric digital sign. And, it's simply up for the city council to decide what is allowed. I think you were talking earlier about being allowed to locate in a residential district. It is a privilege, and it's a privilege that's not granted to other uses, but it's granted to churches and it's granted to schools. But there has to be some limitation that comes with that. And he talks about how they're not on a cul-de-sac. Well, there are a lot of churches that are in right in the middle of neighborhoods. I grew up in Brookside, and in that area there are churches right across the street from houses and on very small streets. If we allow it for this church, we have to allow it for all churches. We can't really distinguish among the churches.
But doesn't that make this property unique then? That it is on a four-lane road, a busy road, bookended between commercial property. So it isn't a typical residential location. Doesn't that make it a unique characteristic of this property that would entitle it to a variance?
I believe it gives it an advantage as far as more cars seeing it, but I still don't know how we would allow this community church to have such a sign, but not allow the Catholic church that I attend, which is about a mile away and is in the middle of a neighborhood on a very small street, I don't know how we would say no to them. I think we would get a lawsuit from them. So, you know, I think it's an advantage being on a busy street. We have a lot of churches that are on busy streets. There are a lot of them around the corner from this church down Vivian. And they're all on four-lane roads also, but there are a lot of them.
It's a unique feature of the land, but which goes to the land as opposed to individual, but you're saying it's not a unique detriment, unique difficulty. It's a unique benefit.
Right. I don't know how... they're saying the difficulty is that they have so many cars driving by that they would like to advertise to those cars. To me, that's marketing.
Can you address a more technical issue? If this court were to agree with you that this was a sign type issue and the board has no discretion to grant a variance for a sign type, then it can't be an abuse of discretion. And then that gets into the issue raised in the amendment filed right before the court ruled, doesn't it? And is the city here as a party, and are you representing them? And is that who then would, is there a challenge to the city's ordinance not allowing a variance for sign type here that we need to address?
I don't believe so. The church filed an amended petition the day before the circuit judge ruled. In that amended petition, they were planning to bring the city in as a party. They didn't. They didn't serve the city.
So the city's not a party here?
No, I don't.
And the trial court dismissed that as moot. So does that require remand for consideration of that issue?
It was dismissed without prejudice. They could refile that at any time. I don't believe it requires a remand, and I don't believe it's appropriate to have a remand when the parties to that case aren't before you. The city couldn't have appealed because it hadn't been brought in
yet. Well, they had a pending request to file an amended petition, which was denied as moot. If it's not moot, then that is still a pending issue, isn't it?
They were actually allowed to file an amended petition, okay. But the city was never brought in, and it was dismissed without prejudice. So I think that could be refiled. I don't think it would warrant a remand.
Thank you.
Real quickly, in the 15 seconds I have left, the church challenges the BZA's decision as unconstitutional under the First Amendment, but all of the cases they cite in support of that are cases where an ordinance was challenged. The Metro Media case, the Reed versus Gilbert case, the Witten versus City of Gladstone case, those are all cases where ordinances were challenged. That isn't this case. This is a limited writ of certiorari proceeding that only reviews the decision of the BZA. And the plaintiff takes those cases and says, because those in examining those ordinances use strict scrutiny, that somehow the BZA's decision should be examined with strict scrutiny. I'm not sure how that would even work, and they don't cite any cases to support that an individual BZA decision should be looked at with strict scrutiny.
Your time has expired, Councillor.
Okay.
Thank you.
The number keeps changing, so.
It's going the wrong way against you.
Thank you.
At no point during the city's presentation did they discuss traffic safety, aesthetics of the neighborhood, how this might change the character of the neighborhood. None of the factors that are typically applied in a variance. Rather, the city's council stood here and said simply, we can't allow this in a residential area. Period. Full stop. That's what a variance is for, where the strict application of the zoning code works an injustice. I believe it was you, Justice Russell, who asked about Jackson County. This church actually is in Clay County, and I can tell you, because that's the facts and the record, that the city of Gladstone in Clay County allows digital displays in the middle of residential neighborhoods. That's how this whole mess began. When a prominent member of the Antioch Church died and his family donated money for a monument sign with a digital display at Oak Grove Park, where the parishioners' grandchildren had an active role, and it's plopped in the middle surrounded by a residential area. So clearly the answer is yes in Clay County. Judge Breckenridge, I want to argue with you about definition. You said that, well, isn't the definition of a monument sign in a residential area required to be changeable by hand? I disagree. The definition of a monument sign is simply the width times the base. There is a requirement, and again, I'm dancing on pinheads. There's a difference between a definition and a requirement. There is a requirement in the use of a monument sign in a residential area that the copy be changeable by hand. But that's exactly the requirement that I'm requesting be varied by the BZA. It's not a definition of the sign, because there is a whole section of the sign code which defines signs. And the definition of a monument sign says nothing about changeable copy. Then there was a discussion about, well, they don't want to go out in the weather. And I want to put a shed because I have too much crap and I don't want to go out in the weather. But as Judge Powell pointed out, this is unique to the location. The statement that Ms. Moran's church around the corner in the middle of a residential neighborhood, bookend by homes and nothing else, far away from the street, if they apply for a digital sign, I would first ask, why do you want a digital sign? No one goes by your church except the people who are already coming there. But second, there, the characteristics of the neighborhood are different. Here it is the unique characteristics of the neighborhood. I cited several treatises in my brief that I would direct the court to, specifically discussing the fact that a unique feature is the location of the church. This church is unique. It's Antioch Road, Antioch Church, and therefore presented unique circumstances. Thank you, John.
Thank you.